Yes, sir.
Thank you for taking a ride on the Freedom Train, your community resource podcast series, every Tuesday at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I'm your conductor, Joseph Ward, and as always, riding with me is my good homie, Mr. Pat Urban. What's going on, Pat?
Chill. What's up?
Yeah.
Hey, how you doing?
Chilling. So, hold on. Let's get our sound together. Let's get this right. All right. So, like we say, thank y'all for joining us. Remember, every Tuesday, 6:30 p.m., call in number 720-820-1343. Our online link is freeconferencecall.com/wall/freedomtrain. And remember, the Freedom Train is sponsored by PAX Inc. And that's PACTSINC. PACTSINC. And PAX Inc. is a black advocacy organization aimed at developing the black community to its maximum potential through a focus on education and economics with the traits of hard work, honesty, and integrity. And for more information, make sure you visit www.paxinc.org. And make sure while you're online, you visit our Freedom Train website at www.freedomtrainradio.com. You can go on there and you can download your favorite episodes, like this episode, because it's going to be one of your favorite episodes. And we also are on iTunes and Google Play Store. So, Pat, we're a little bougie now. We're a little bit, just a little bit. You know what I'm saying?
A little bit.
We are.
A little bit. You're going to have to work on that. You a little tired today, Joe?
Hey, man, I'm here, though. I'm here. Mm. So, hey, remember, follow us on Twitter and Instagram at _FreedomTrain. So, if you want to be cool, like I tell you every week, you want to be somebody, you better follow us on Twitter and Instagram. So, you ready, Pat? You ready for this one?
I'm always ready. You know, this would have been a perfect show for you to let me freestyle.
Well, go ahead. Bust a freestyle right now.
Nah, my throat a little sore right now.
How we do that? Put you on the spot. You ain't ready to rap. So we got Mr. Keith Rogers on the show, who's the founder and CEO of Black on Black Rhyme and the Back Talk Poetry Troupe. How you doing today, Keith? Keith, can you hear me? Hold on. I muted the wrong one. Hello, Keith, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
All right, yes, sir. How you doing today?
I got a little sore throat.
Yes, sir. Happy to have you on the show today. And before we get started, I want you to, if you could, give the people a little background information about yourself, tell us about you, and, you know, then from there we're going to get into this interview. But tell us about Keith Rogers.
All right, Keith Rogers, that's Keith with the capital K, Rogers with the capital R, born and raised in Lake Hamilton, Haines City, Polk County. United States Army veteran, did 4 years, 8 months, 29 days. Went to Polk Community College, got my AA degree, moved to Tallahassee in 96, went to Florida State. Only went to a semester and a half, went to a poetry reading, and I've been rhyming ever since.
Yes, sir.
Entrepreneur, hustler, CEO, activist, comedian, host, poet, author, artist, daddy, father.
Everything.
Brother.
Human. There you go.
Yeah. Most important.
Yes, sir. Happy to have you on here, man. You've been doing your thing for a long time. I've been checking you out for a long time here in Tallahassee. And I remember, and I tell you this all the time, but I remember going to my first Black on Black Rhyme poetry session at your house, actually. So you've been really putting in work, and that's when I was in college. That's like 2002, 2003. So you've been putting in work for a long time. You've grown this Black on Black Rhyme to something that's phenomenal. So, you know, I have to, you know, our studio audience always likes to give credence to people who are out there doing their thing. So we got to give you a hand, you know.
Mm-hmm. I like how you did that.
Yes. So, I mean, you've been doing your thing for a long time, and you really put in real work to create something that is creating, because I hear a lot of times people say that we don't have culture, but you show every time that Black on Black Rhyme show up that we do have culture and how we inspire other cultures.
True. And that's what Black on Black Rhyme, we strive to be the voice not necessarily of the voiceless, but just the voice of the streets, you know, or the people that might not have time to talk back, you know, might not have the creativity to do it. You know, they might not say it in a way that we say it, but it's been said to a point in a way where they can understand it and feel it at the same time. Like, yeah, that's what I was trying to say.
Okay, you know. Okay. So, you know, usually we don't do this, but since you got the rhyming skills, we want to see if you can spit a little something for us real quick before we get into these questions.
All right, let me see. Now, this ain't no freestyle. I'm going to charge you for this. Now, I'm not here to talk about religion. It's something deeper. It's for my people. It's spiritual. It's lyrical. It's actual. It's factual. It's not sexual, but intellectual. Now, when it comes to our kids, we got to let them grow, because they're not born just to be mourned. No, they're not born just to be mourned. We wonder why our brothers are dying out. Because when they are crying out, our ears are mute to the dispute that's going on in these streets. Until they're covered with that white sheet, we fix our face to talk behind their little backs. Then we put on that little act like we were so concerned about the death. But when the death had, when the courts had breath, no nice advice from us did it receive, but yet we grieve. Not once did we see them doing wrong, did we stop the scorn, but yet we stopped the mourn. Not once did we try to stop them from getting high, but yet we stopped to cry. And yet they continue to die. And yet, we continue to lie to ourselves about their devs, saying that they was bad since birth. That's why they prematurely left this earth. And people, before it can get better, it must get worse. But close eyes to open and start hoping. And once we start hoping, we will start believing. And once we start believing, we will start achieving. And once we start achieving, we will stop grieving. And once we stop grieving, we will stop having Saturday evenings filled with blacks dressed in black, because some blacks didn't know how to act, committed the act of killing their own kind because they weren't willing to start healing their own mind. A little black fact that's been known for a long time, babies aren't born bad. Feelings aren't born mad. Children aren't born without a mom or a dad. Although you may hate it, thugs are created. And for every thug that is mourned, please remember, they weren't a thug when they was born.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That's what we're talking about. All right. Man, we appreciate that, my brother.
That was dope.
That's real dope. Hey, see, that's real MCing right there. See how he was ready, Pat. You gotta step your game up, Pat.
Man, my throat was sore. Don't but I'm not, don't put me with him. He's a professional.
Pat. We are creative people. When you
yes, sir.
Sore, make it sore like an eagle.
Mm.
Yes, sir. Off the top of the dome,
word.
Shining like chrome. I step in the house feeling crazy like Jerome. You know, see, you got me saying it now. All right. Go ahead, Pat. First question. Go ahead. Let's kick this thing off.
Yeah. So, you are a very popular poet, and people don't know it. never mind. So, so you've been doing this for a while, and you've made a name for yourself. And I know you said you went to a poetry event in college, and you started rhyming, and you haven't stopped since. What was it about that scene that inspired you to take the path that you took as far as creating black-on-black rhyme and becoming a poet and all those other things?
Now. I wrote all my life. I've always been fascinated with rhyme. When I got here in 96, I had like over 300 poems memorized. I just never had went to a poetry reading. Like, I hadn't been around other poets. And I just write poems for my homeboy, trying to get a girlfriend back, you know, rewrite songs. Just rhyming, you know. But when I went to a poetry reading, like, I started writing all the time. Like, I would be in class and my notes would start rhyming. That's why I didn't finish school. Like, I'm not finna get a degree and do something else. This is what I'm finna do. And I know I'm not finna riff for anybody. I'd be at the red light, I'd be at the club writing poems. I mean, people see me walking in the parking lot. Hey, do that poem you did last week. So it wasn't something I was trying to do to make a living off of it. People kept asking me to do it whenever they saw me or whatever. So then I said, I'm gonna just do it. Because when I started it at my apartment, it was free. Mm-hmm. It would be free food, free drink, free to get in. Everything was free. I might pay somebody that cooking food on the side of the road. Hey, you can cook fish and grits for us on this night right here. Pay them to do that, you know. I see you say, hey, you bring some wine coolers. I won't charge you to get in. I tell you that it's free anyway. See a girl, hey, bring three of your friends. Y'all can get in. But if two of y'all come, you can't get in from a charge. You got to bring three of them. I mean, they bring some incense. I won't charge you to get in. So it was just nice. But mm-hmm. we eventually outgrew the apartment, and we moved to the Mount Zion Calypso Cafe in August of 99. And we stayed there from then until 2005. We moved to Nefertari. Well, we moved to Amara Bookstore. That's where we're at now. But it's called Nefertari. So we only had, well, we had kind of the apartment has been only three locations in 18 years, which is great.
18 years, man. 18 years. You've been doing it, man. That's amazing, man. That is amazing. Because you've, like I said earlier, you've created something that you know, has that rich cultural expression. And a lot of the students that I've seen on campus who, they wear them shirts proud. And them poets, they wear that, they wear that proud. And y'all set precedents for the other poetry troops that came after you as well.
Mm-hmm.
That's
And the main thing is, you know, the poetry is always on point. But besides that, you have to keep a lot of egos in check. And you do that mm-hmm. by making it a family. You don't make it about a poet. You make it about poetry. No matter what poet is representing, you know they're going to represent. And but it's that family atmosphere, that family environment that made us have the longevity that we had. You know, some people get together, fall apart because of egos, money, and all that. So when you base it on certain things will have a certain effect on it. So we try to keep, although it's a business and we're business-minded, but doing it doesn't seem like a business. You're like, I get paid for doing this? That's what's up, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But if you go in there to get paid, you're gonna go there with a different mindset. So,
right, exactly. All right, so you've given us information on your journey as a poet. What specifically, Black on Black Rhyme. Can you tell us how you ended up forming Black on Black Rhyme, and why did you end up creating Black on Black Rhyme?
Well, Black on Black Rhyme was first back in the 80s. The news corner turned Black on Black Crime. So I took a negative and made a positive out of it. I dumped the C. You don't have to see the crime. Just you take away that C out of crime, you left with a rhyme.
Right.
So it became Black on. I did a poem called Black on Black Rhyme. Then it became the name of my first poetry book, Black on Black Rhyme. Then it became the name of the show, Black on Black Rhyme. And now it's a movement. I was part of another troupe called Night Jazz. They used to have a show every Thursday, 9 o'clock at the Sparta, across from the courthouse in Tallahassee. Mm-hmm. And when I found out about it, that was the second poetry reading I went to. When I went there, and I just caught it bad. Like I would be the I would get this. I had the DJ set up, and I stayed and had the DJ broke down. Like you probably thought I was working with the DJ. I was there like just, but I would be the first poet there. But all the superstar poets, they'll try to come like when it's thick or whatever. But by the time they get there, I done did about four or five poems because ain't no other poets there. But I'm rocking it. Then when the superstar poets get there, I'll be like, hey, put Poe Count on the microphone. Now I'm doing two more. Then when they dip, I'm closing the show out. So I might end up doing 10 poems a night, but I had that many poems, though. Then that was just what I came with. While I'm there, I'm writing poems. Somebody might say a line. It might inspire me to write about something else, you know. So I'm doing poems. I'm not doing any new poems. I'm doing old poems. If I do a poem, it's at least 2 weeks old because I get the time to memorize it. But when they stop doing that, people would see me in public and be like, when y'all going to start that thing back up? You know, and that's what encouraged me to do it in my apartment. I didn't have any money to rent no club out. I never put something like that together, whatever. So I did it in my apartment. And we called it Poetic Drive-By. And the concept was to get hit by one. You know, with a drive-by, you never know when it's going to happen. So it wasn't a flyers. It wasn't an address. I got your number. If it was a girl, I'd say, hey, you like poetry? They'd be like, yeah. I said, write your number in this book, and I'm going to call you on Tuesday and Wednesday to give you direction. And that's how I was like a year and a half.
Okay.
And, I had an apartment with the red porch light. That's how they found it. Look for the red porch light. And, you know, we had it so thick in here, like people sitting up on the steps. So
I remember that.
Mount Zion, we started that. So we did So we called it Black on Black Rhyme, but we had meetings, weekly meetings. And so I said, we need to come up with a name for the truth. I said, right now I got Back Talk. If y'all can come up with something better, I mean, let me know. We'll switch it. But no one came up with anything better. And then I was like, we need to do a call and response. So we did, I said, when we say Back Talk, the crowd need to say something back. So Shadow, Akeem Sawyer, he said, talk back. And he was like, okay. He said, that's where the back talk
right.
back came from.
Right, and okay.
There's people screaming that all over the world now.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
But, you know, the main thing, when you start something, you never know how big it's going to get. But that don't mean you gotta think small because it starts small. You can still think big, you know what I'm saying? Just know where you're going to go. And to be honest, I never thought, it wasn't a plan of mine to start a movement. The movement started because other people liked what we was doing, and they carried it on when they moved other places. Paul D., he moved to Atlanta. He started in it. Right, well, actually, let me go back. Walter Jennings, he was one of the original treatment when I used to do that in my apartment.
Mm-hmm.
He graduated in 2000, I think, from FAMU, moved back to Tampa. He would drive back on some Thursdays at least once or twice a month just to come to Black on Black Rhyme.
Mm-hmm.
And his wife said, baby, why don't you just start it here? So September 11, 2001 was supposed to be our starting date. But y'all know what happened September 11, 2001.
Right, right.
So we had to close it. We had to move it to September 18th. And that's been going ever since. Ken Langston started it in Fort Lauderdale a year later. He graduated from Florida State and moved there. He started there. Shadow started in Jacksonville.
Right.
He graduated from Florida, started in Jacksonville. Then he moved to Atlanta, took over when Paul D. left. Paul D. started in Atlanta, and then he moved to Abu Dhabi. He actually got Black and White Rhyme in Abu Dhabi. Devontae Allen moved to Rochester. He started in Rochester. We're the real one started in Miami. So we got him all over. Salam got one in Mobile, Alabama now. So it's like a springtime.
Yes, sir. And you actually got the chance to perform at Abu Dhabi, correct?
Yeah, I went last year. And what's crazy is Paul actually came in town from Abu Dhabi last night. He's getting married in Jamaica, so
okay.
He got me. I was trying to get him to stay for the interview, but he had to go to Mad Dawson to visit his dad. So
okay.
I done been to Abu Dhabi, and Abu Dhabi done came to us.
That's what's up.
So do you see spoken word kind of becoming like the new voice of the community, kind of replacing rap music as the voice of street culture?
Not to be honest, no. Spoken word has always been the voice of the community. It's just the community didn't choose to listen to it all the time, only when something bad happened. You know, you don't have a lot of people sitting around listening to spoken word. They're sitting around because that music is a thing. You know, music is universal, but poetry is not universal because language is not universal. You know, smile is universal. Math is universal. 2 + 2 = 4 everywhere you go. But if I say love, you got to say more. You know, that changes, you know. And so with spoken word, you got the last poem, you know, in the beginning there was the word. It said in the book, you know, and it was spoken or whatever. So people just pay attention to it at certain times because of poet. And it's everyone, poetry is the most watered down of the art form. If you can talk, you can write a poem. You might not be great at it, and you can actually write a great poem and not be a good poet.
Mm-hmm.
You can't be no great guitar singer just trying it one time.
Right.
You got to put that skill in. You ain't gonna be no great trumpet player just trying it one time. You got to learn them keys and all that. But poetry, as long as you know how to write, you can do it.
Okay.
And that's why I say it's the most watered down art form. And it doesn't get the respect that it deserves a lot of times, but it gets appreciated when it's heard and it's good.
That's what's up. So, being that spoken word is a powerful art form, as we're talking about now, how do you specifically use spoken word to help uplift the Black community, and how do you think spoken word is helping to uplift the Black community, especially in some of the climate that we're dealing with right now, as far as the racial tension and everything?
The climate hasn't changed one bit how I use it, because I always did it to uplift people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and to entertain them at the same time, and to give them hope or inspiration that they can do it, their kids can do it. Like even right now, I'm doing a summer camp at FAMU DRS called the Smart Academy, and I'm teaching it. It's supposed to be creative writing, but it's from kindergarten to high school. So some of the kindergartners can't write like the high school because their vocabulary is not there. But
right.
I can teach them how to creatively think. And mm-hmm. once they start doing that, they can creatively write. The main thing is you may not start a fire with them, but you can't be that spark. And some of them do catch on fire, you know. And that's what everything. If you throw a baseball to all the kids, all of them ain't gonna throw it at the same speed. But the one that throw it the fastest, you probably gonna let him be the pitcher.
Mm-hmm.
And so with them kids, you try to see what level they're at, and you use it like you know you discuss certain things and let them write about it. And same thing with adults. And writing is like a radiator. You can run hot all day and be mad and blow up and all that, but when you write, it's like taking that radiator cap off and then all that pressure off, and everything simmer back down because you don't got it out you. You ain't you can. The only way somebody can be offended by it, they actually read it or hear it.
Okay.
But it's a powerful tool, but at the same time, if you choose to listen to it, choose to pay attention to it. And a lot of times people don't. And I ain't gonna say a lot of times. A lot of times people don't choose it. I know when I first got to Florida, I went to Florida State. Instead, I didn't even apply for FAMU. I went to Florida State. I said, I can FAMU can teach me some things about being black, but I'm black my whole life. There's nothing mm-hmm. that can teach me to change that I'm black. But mm-hmm. I can teach some white folks at FSU something about black people.
Mm-hmm.
Now, although I went to Florida State, I still was at FAMU more than Florida State. But when I first tried to get on a program at Florida State, it was January of 96, I was trying to get on the Black History Program. And I kept looking, trying to see who was in charge of it. And Miss Freddie Grooms was the person I was looking for. But unbeknownst to me, she was retiring. And her job was taken over by Joy Baldwin. And so that's what I was supposed to be looking for. When I finally found her, it was like a week and a half before the Black History Program. She was like, well, what do you do? I said, I do poetry. She said, well, it's too late now because we got the program all set and all that. She's telling me no. So I got tired of her telling me no. I just did a poem.
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, wow. And at the end of that day, they moved that program about 15 minutes so I could open the program. I did three poems at the program. They ended up printing one of my poems on the program. And every time Joy had a program for student minority affairs, Keith Rogers was on it.
Okay.
So even then, me saying poetry, they wasn't going for it. Once I did what I did, they was like, wow, you know. And that's how black and white rhyme poets, I hope most of them be, is that, you know, don't just be a poet. Be powerful when you speak. You know, don't just write about stuff because you can. Write about stuff that people want to hear, that people need to hear, or write about the truth. And the truth don't change.
Yes, sir. Don't just be a poet. Be powerful when you speak. I like that.
Yeah. We say pimp, preaching my poetry. Be a okay. pimp.
Okay.
So, for all of the poets and aspiring poets out there, like what do they need to be doing, and what type of skills do they need to be developing to become powerful poets?
Vocabulary and truth. Vocabulary and when I say vocabulary, that don't mean you go learn all the words in the dictionary. Know the language of the people you're talking to.
Mm-hmm.
That vocabulary, you know. A lot of times you can use them big words that be over people's heads. You know, I tell, like, it's certain poets, some of my favorite poets, they're basic, but they're not basic. And when I mean by basic, I can take them to a kindergarten class, a college class, or an old folks home, and they'll have poems to rock each and every one of them. That's the part. Now, you got some poets that articulate stuff real with use big words, but they're not for every crowd. Like I said, we got to do this elementary school. Hey, man, I ain't got nothing for that. But that don't mean that poet's not great because they might have something for another crowd be like off the chain. But my favorite poets are the ones that can do that.
Okay.
And so practice writing and learn people research information because you don't want to just – the truth doesn't change, but facts do. Back in 96, you could say, yeah, and Bill Clinton, the president – you can't say that now because he's not the president. He's a former president.
Right.
So the truth is that he was a president, but he's not a president now. You know, in office. Next year, you can't say that about Obama. Now, it's a fact that he was president, but in one more year, you can't. It's not a fact that he's the president. But that truth is that he was a president. But the fact is that he's not, so that would change. But that truth, I got poems I wrote back in 1997. I do enough people think they're brand new. They think
wow.
they're brand
Right, right, because that truth ain't changed.
Right, and that, okay, and that message, you know. Now, at some point, they're not going to do because the truth has changed in them, you know, so. But just having that, say use a big three-syllable, having that repertoire. I say the right
repertoire. Yeah, yeah, that repertoire. Yes, well, and I want to ask this too, because it seems, I know I've run across a lot of people who think that being a good poet is as easy as just picking up a pen and a pad, sitting down there thinking for 15, 20 minutes, just making sure, you know, you have words that rhyme in there. So for up and coming poets, can you give a little advice on what it takes to like, well, the work that it takes to be great, because we know it takes, we know that you have to do more than just want to rhyme words. So what type of real work does it take to be a great poet and a notable poet that can be on another level, basically a level like what you're on?
See, that's what I'm saying. That's the thing about the poetry, to be a great poet. Some people can pick up a pen the first time and be a great poet,
okay,
because they might be a great writer. But a great poet, and a great, it's the difference between writing poetry, performing poetry, and spoken word and slam and all. It's different levels to it. Some people are great page poets. They're not performers. Some rap, you got some homework that can write their behind off, but when it comes to the delivery, they ain't got it.
Right.
You know what I mean? Sometimes ghostwriters make more than the performers. And then some people, with poetry, I've seen people come in like on a three level. Being around other poets and having that passion and that drive, next year they like 8 or 9 level.
Uh-huh.
2 years, they 10, you know what I'm saying? And sometimes you can see that in them before they can see it in them. But it's more so about their passion than their skill sometimes, because that skill is something you can develop, because it's just language.
Uh-huh.
When you write a poem in English, no matter how great you are, how garbage you are, you're still using the same 26 letters that everybody else is writing in English. Ain't no new letters.
Right.
Ain't no 29 letters.
Right.
But you don't see it. You see it in some sports players. They come in all right. Then this 3 year later, superstars. Cause they go out there and practice. They're using the same basketball, using the same goal, using everything the same. Their passion and their drive change. And just because someone is better than you, it doesn't take away from your greatness if you are great. More than one person can be great in their own way. We got a poet coming Friday at Nefertari's, Sonny Patterson.
I love
Sonny
her.
Patterson, yes, she's a great writer, but her spirit is just as great. She can go do a feature and not one poem, and you'll lead her to my man, that was nice. And she knew one poem. Just her talk and her delivery and her passion, and it got sincerity about it. So it's different elements. Sometimes it ain't the poetry that makes them great, it's the person that makes the poetry great.
Right.
Because of the ambiance, the personality and all that. And you end up being conceited and all that. Yeah, you might be great, but you might be good, that don't make you great. Those come so poetry is supposed to be uplifted. Same thing with music. Music is supposed to be uplifted.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay, okay, okay.
So, y'all need to make me right tonight.
You talked about what were some of the goals you had for Black on Black Rhyme when you first created it, from like a business standpoint or organizational standpoint. What were some of the goals you had, and did you reach them? And why were setting those goals so important? Why was?
This is going to sound like messed up, but I'm going to tell you, I didn't have any goals.
Okay.
That's why I said earlier, I didn't start it to be a business. I just started, the people were asking me, when y'all going to start back, and I started at my apartment. It was the people, I was doing free shows around here, anywhere I could, but it got to the point where it was costing me. Because they come to the University of Florida, and I got to bring, I'm bringing 7 poets. Now I got to rent a van and gas. And maybe the 1 or 2 times we might have charged the poet $10 a piece of paper, everything. I said, no, we need to get paid. You know what I'm saying? And but then sometimes they offer the money. But I would record the shows live back then, like record every show live. We'll put the date on the show. Instead, we went to University of Florida. I would make copies of the CD, give all the poets. Some poets wouldn't even own the CD. Hey, sell these CDs for $10. You keep 7, bring me back 3. But it was showing that they could be a business. And what they said, but it developed their hustle skill too, because if you got talent and you got a skill, you are a product if you market yourself right. So my goal wasn't to be worldwide and have other chapters. Like I said, all that became because other people wanted to do it. I never suggested, hey, you should go start a chapter when you graduate. That was never a goal of mine, because mine was just here, you know. And but when they wanted to do it, that's what made it bigger. A lot of them had better goals for it than I did.
Okay.
I ain't no business man. I'm a business man. Y'all heard that?
You wrote it for Jay. Yes, sir. Nah, but you. I mean, but that's cool though, because I mean, you started the movement, like you said earlier. You really started the movement with just following your passion, and you hear it all the time. You hear people all the time saying, "Follow your passions, and it'll lead you to unbelievable places." And you are a testament to that, basically.
No, and even then, like, you know, I do poetry, but I host shows, I do comedy, I do workshops, I do a business consultations. The gift of gab, I just use it in different ways, and I always had that, So, you know, I'm just real witty, so important is something that I used to rap. But when I rap, I didn't gang bang, I didn't rap about that. I didn't never sold drugs, don't drink, don't smoke. I had sex. I did that. My rap got real ratchet. I started feeling some type of way about my rap. Let's go back to poetry, you know. So
yeah.
When I say ratchet, y'all think I ain't talking about plies and I ain't talking about rich. I'm talking about ratchet. Now, like, I said, ooh, that was me?
I know, right? You go back and listen, like, okay, nah.
I'm sorry, who was my rapper? No, I'm just playing.
Go ahead, let loose.
No. Cut you off the air.
So, somebody with bullet wounds might be listening, so, you know.
No.
That's what's up. So, Have you ever encountered people who were negative toward Black on Black Rhyme as far as saying it was racist? Because you know how some when you start embracing your culture, others like to call you racist. So have you ever encountered something like that, or encountered some negativity because you were teaching the youth how to express themselves culturally? And if so, have you experienced that from within your own community or outside of your community?
I can't say I've experienced it directly, but indirectly, you never know, because it's some people that probably didn't get a pill for gear because it's called Black on Black Rhyme. I don't know. But if I did experience it, if I did, it never stopped me. Mm-hmm. It never slowed me down. And when I first called it Black on Black Rhyme, some of the poets were like, well, what about the white people? I'm like, what about them?
Oh, right.
I'd rather for a white person to come to a show called Black on Black Rhyme and they're hearing what they're hearing, and we call it a poetry reading, and they like, what the hell are they saying? You know, we got a Miss Agnes. You know Miss Agnes Flurry?
Yeah, yeah.
She's about 70. She's been coming to Black on Black Rhyme since 2003.
Old white lady.
Matter of fact, she's been coming longer than any poet that's part of us now in Tallahassee. Because all the ones that came back then, they don't move away, they don't start their own chapter. That's how long she's been coming.
Right, right.
And but that's saying something about her. And white people come all the time. It's a 70-year-old lady came 3 weeks ago. She moved from New York. She came back next week with her daughter and her grandson. Sat up front. Talked to me for 2 hours after the show. I'm like, she ain't got sleeping yet. I was sleeping right. I was not letting her outdo me. Right. Nothing happened. But what I did with Nancy, she came back, I stayed away from her because I said, she ain't going to be mad at me. I'm going to doze off on her. I'm going to tell her she won. You won. She won. What? I ain't going to tell her what you won. Just...
Yeah. And
that's how, you know, you can't go through life trying to please everybody. You know what I'm saying? But you can go through life pleasing yourself. And if you know you're doing what you think is right, no matter how wrong it is, it's your thought process. Until somebody show you a better way, people are going to do what they're used to. People are going to say what they're used to hearing or whatever until you show them something different. Because like I said, I used to go home and we did a show in Polk County. Like we had Black and Black Rhyme Polk County, right? So when we got there early enough, we'd go by the nursing home. I ain't really know about the nursing home. We just went by there. 4 years later, guess who in the nursing home? My mom and dad at the same nursing home. So how you know all these people? People in wheelchair, retarded, all of them know me or whatever. Bad call, because we put in that work before they got in that situation. You know what I'm saying?
Right, right.
They didn't pay us. The lady that was over, she said, you know, if y'all schedule it, we can pay y'all. I never knew when I was going, so I ain't worried about that. But they gave the poets something to do too, like instead of trying to rock the mic all the time in the clubs, we'll get back to that nursing home.
Uh-huh.
Then when we go, if we go by nursing home this time, I'd be smiling, drowning. Yeah, we can stop by that. We got time. Knowing I'm here to straight down beeline. Making a beeline straight down.
Okay.
But you can't stop what you're gonna say. Worry about what people are gonna say because you never know how they're gonna take it. And if you're a greater poet like you think you are, you'll change their mind before you change your rhyme.
There you go.
Change their mind before you change your rhyme.
Ho.
That's gonna be on my next mixtape. So. You said earlier that you're not a businessman. You're a businessman. So we're going to let you handle your business. Damn. Oh, Jay-Z got that for me. Anyway. So what are some of the other things that you're doing? And if somebody wanted to support Mr. Keith Rogers, how could they go about doing that?
Well, we have Black Combat Rhyme every Tuesday night at Nefertari's Fine Cuisine. Also, we have a big show with Sonny Patterson. Actually, tonight we have a feature, Miss Andrea Kitten, all the way from California. Andrea, say hey.
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 Right here, eavesdrop. She said, y'all ain't going to come to the show. But that's all right, though.
Whatever.
Prove her wrong. But we got Patterson coming on Friday. It's a fundraiser for Gwen Marshall. And speaking of Gwen Marshall, I'm actually her campaign manager. So they finally got me into politics. Also, I'm host of Tallahassee Nights Live, which is the biggest live show. Probably in Florida. I'd be saying Tallahassee and Panama, but probably in Florida. The next one is August 7th at the Moon. And like I said, I do workshops. I sell air fresheners. I do some everything, you know.
Yes, sir. You do be on the move, man. But, I mean, like I keep saying, we got to take our hat off to you because you not only showing that when you follow your passion, great things happen, but you are showing that entrepreneurial spirit, so those who are looking up to you, they see a man who's handling his business and a man who owns something that you can actually pass on to your kids. So that's one of the greatest parts about it. Like you can literally, this could go on forever because you can literally pass this on to the next generation.
Mm-hmm. And we are, think about 18 years. We started at Mount Zion. It's a lady named Tiny Betcher. Her son, she had a son. His name was Nigel. Nigel is 18 now.
Mm-hmm.
Nigel comes to Black and Black Rhyme and Spit.
That's what's up.
That's the poet that gave birth to other poets since we started, and their poets. And he's doing his own DJ, do some everything, got his own business. And that's how it is. So it has been passed on already to generations.
Okay.
And I would be there, but I'm in Charlotte, North Carolina. So, but next time I'm in town, if y'all having an event, I'm gonna definitely check it out.
And Charlotte has a lot of great poets there, a lot. Like, there's some beasts up there. Matter of fact, yeah. Andrew just came from Carolina today. That's where she was, up in Carolina. Okay. Actually, supposed to be in Charlotte tonight, but the show got canceled because she was our feature next week. But so she just rolling down and knocking out tonight. So,
we'll see
Joseph there, though. One of y'all will be there.
Hey, man.
Yeah,
hey, man.
Y'all be there.
I'm coming through, man. Coming through.
And save yourself a little money. It's free before 8 if you mention Gwen Marshall, Clerk of Court, at the door.
Oh, trust me, I remember that, but I'll be there.
And please go to GwenForClerk.net and go Gwen Marshall on Facebook to support the campaign. And speaking of campaign, it's a lot of offices. We got a close sheriff. People, forget that. Register to vote. That's, I don't care where you're at. Register to vote.
Right. Right. Can you give us a little more information about the campaign so we can so people know more about to support it?
Go to Gwen Marshall on Facebook. That's where most of the information is going to be. Of course, I put it on my page.
Right. Also, you can go to grandforclerk.net. That's our website. If you want to donate towards the campaign and find out more information. But we got a lot of stuff going on. I don't want to take up too much of y'all time.
Okay.
I mean,
okay.
You're not taking up all time. Our whole show is on you.
It's about you.
I can pick a little there.
Yeah, go ahead, man. You got all the time you need.
If I may tell, on a scale, my thoughts are weightless, and I hate this, being on the verge of greatness, with no inspiration to spark my motivation, although I have a nation of nouns and pronouns to compound the topic, from starships to rockets, from the emptiness in my pockets, from my name being on courtroom dockets, Keith Rogers on some trumped up charges, because I opened up minds like doors on garages, remotely, because I spoke the truth, and I wrote the proof in a poem, and like a bomb, I became a threat, because I tried to make your dry jokes wet with my sweat and sense of humor. So you started an intense rumor about my past, but it did not last, because the truth was known, and through education the truth has grown to the point where it's no longer condoned, because your history was wrong, because it was teased and tainted, because it was greased and painted, a sketch that was incorrect, and I fell to my knees and fainted when the picture was finished, and I saw that my kind wasn't in it. Hold up, wait a minute, black homes and backbones built this nation to the point of admiration from others who weren't blessed enough to build pyramids the way we did to start civilization. That's why I get the sensation of being weightless, because I believe we can achieve the surge to be more than just on the verge of greatness.
Yes, sir.
That's been about 10 years ago. I don't know what ever did. And then the same people clapping.
Hey, man. Our studio artists be ready, man.
I see they say with clothes on. Stay ready. Stay ready.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So
hold on. Andrew want to do a poem too.
Oh yeah, please, all please, right. Please. Hey, Andrea. Hey.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. How you doing? Before you speak, can you introduce yourself and give us information and links to where we can find you on social media and the website and all that, on the internet and all that stuff?
All right. So my name is Andrea Kitten. You can find me on social media as Andrea Kitten Perry. I just published my first book of poetry.
Oh.
Keith actually wrote the foreword to it, so.
What's the name of it?
It's called Free. In, like, you know, free spirit. yeah, it's called Free, but it costs. You can find it on Amazon. You can find it on my website, AndreaKitsonPerry.com. I'm from Stockton, California. And
West Side.
That's where it's at.
Yeah. All right, drop it. Drop one on us. Go ahead.
We not just talented for Broadway, but genius enough to rock crowds of tens of thousands like Barclays, selling out arenas, then we re-up on our off days, slinging stanzas while making them throw their hands up and stand up in ovations, throwing liquor in jest. Mazel tov and celebration, we deep. Yeah, we so deep, like Langston Hughes infused with blues, so to speak, like Little Richard and Sonia Sanchez meets. Living out our dreams of being poetry rock stars, we rallying with excitement, but this time we burn it on cops' cars so we can win Oscars for Oscars and grant Mike Brown's freedom from slavery like Angela Davis fee. What a bravery. I'm a beast at this poetry-ish, but my art ain't for nobody to be caging me. I just want to live free. It's my life. It's now or never like Bon Jovi. We on the run, Bonnie and Clyde like Hovin B, mixing rock and roll interludes with our poetry. I just want to be known for creating epic when I'm in my zone, not put in a box, following flocks, confused about which way to hit home. I write what I feel, and right now I'm feeling funky. So head nod with me, fellas and ladies, shake your monkeys, because I just want to be a poetry rock star.
Yeah. Our studio audience love you, too. We're going to give you some love, too. Yes, ma'am. We here. We ready.
Okay. I just want to shake my monkey.
I like that. I ain't going to lie to that. The freaking me like
that's
that.
For the ladies, though. That's for the ladies. I got Elijah Hammond.
Go get her book titled Free. Support. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate you allowing me on here today.
Oh, no problem. No problem. No problem. And just tell them the Freedom Train treats you well.
I sure do.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, so I'll see you
later. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. I will be there.
Sounds good.
All right.
Hey, man, remember, y'all, when life gives you back talk, don't be afraid to talk back.
Talk back. Now, before we let you go, Keith, we got to hit you with our world famous question, and we ask everybody this question, but we got to set it up right though. So we got to do this. I got to just throwing this alley oop to Pat. He got to dunk it this time. So we got to get it.
So, if you were the all powerful ruler of Black America, the czar, the president, the god, if you will, what would you change and what would your message to the people be?
I would say if I was the all ruler of Black America, my message to the people was be like splinters in trees, always stick together.
Yeah.
Always stick together.
I like that.
Because trees can give you fruit, trees can give you shade, trees can give you shelter from any type of weather. Trees can give you exercise to climb. You can run around a tree. You can plant a tree. But most of all, trees give you oxygen.
Mm-hmm.
Trees give you a lot of things. And we are trees, from the root to the branches.
Yes, sir.
We are leaves, from the antelope to the ants. All don't want to be around us. And look what found us, greatness. And we don't want to use it in vain. When you feel confined and you ain't got no ride, you can always hop on that freedom train.
Yes, sir. Toot, toot.
Yes, sir. Same chain. 10 dimes equals a dollar. Ain't none of that change. People talking about history repeat itself. No, history don't. We do. We keep repeating ourselves. Then the same thing happens to us over and over. They were beating our ass in the 60s. They beating our ass now. Beating our ass in slavery and all that. We still accept it. That's what ain't changed.
That's all straight off the dome for you, too, in case y'all didn't get that. So that's what's up. So where can they find you and Black on Black Rhyme online? If you know, when people come back and listen to this, where can they go and find you and be able to support everything that you got going on?
They can go to blackonblackrhyme.com. That's our website. They can also go to our Facebook group, it's Black on Black Rhyme Poetry Group. Black on Black Rhyme Poetry Group. Or they can follow Keith Keyboard Rogers fan page. And that's Keith Keyboard, is KEBOI. Rogers, RODGERS. Don't forget that D.
Yes, sir. Hey, man, you crazy, but you cool, man. I did what you do, man. Like I say, my hat goes off to you. I've been paying attention to you for a long time, and I had to have you on the show because, we created this show as a platform for people who are doing great things in the community, and I want to extend this to you like we extend to all our other cool guests. And if you have something going on, upcoming events or things, you can always contact us. If you can't be on the show that day yourself, you can always send us your information, and we'll make sure we pump it out for you, because what you're doing is great in the community, and we want to be able to have each other back. Like you said, we got to stick together like trees. So we're here as a platform for you all to help push your messages out.
I gotta write that down too. Stick together like trees.
Yes, sir.
I ain't about how good it sounds. You said it back just then. Offensive, what you got there from?
You. That's what Jay-Z said.
Hey, an old wise man from Polk County told me, say, son, just because you steal don't make you a thief. You know what he meant by that?
Uh-uh. You got me on that one.
What they call Superman, the man or what?
The man of steel. Oh, there you go. I got you.
Just because you steal don't make you a thief.
I got you. All right. You went over my head, but I'm with you now. All right. Well, man, appreciate you. Huh?
Y'all keep doing what y'all doing, man. And also, don't forget, y'all can find information, too, on our Tallahassee Night Live Facebook page.
Okay. And Tallahassee Night Live's Facebook page and the Black on Black Rhyme Facebook page, y'all make sure y'all go and visit. And Keith, we ain't going to take up no more of your time because we know you're getting ready for the show tonight. But appreciate you being on the Freedom Train. And remember, when you got things coming up, just contact us and we'll gladly get your information out for you.
All right. Thanks again. Y'all keep it up, man.
Yes, sir. Appreciate you.
All right.
Yeah. Hey, Pat.
What up?
I feel inspired.
You finna go write a poetry book?
Mm-mm. I'm finna spit a poem right now.
Okay. What you got?
Okay. I clipped my toenails
in the
middle of a fire.
What?
And some people say that's crazy.
Oh.
But me, I am not a liar.
What?
I woke up in the morning.
This morning.
And went to bed in the evening.
Evening.
I'm trying to think of something that rhymed with evening. But that don't mean I'm going to stop this poem. Because like my mama say, son, you better keep going on. There it is.
And there it is.
I guess, man, he inspired me. So what? I'm here. I'm a rhymer. There it is. So, but... If you haven't had a chance to go to a Black on Black Rhyme show, like you say, it's not just in Tallahassee, Atlanta, Jacksonville, Miami, Fort Lauderdale, Atlanta. Go check out the Black on Black. It may be a chapter close to you. Go check it out because there's some amazing poets that you're going to hear from all different ages, all different backgrounds, people getting that spitting hot fire on that microphone. So, you know. All right. So, we got it's Joel, that's you on the line?
Yes, sir.
What's
How
going
y'all?
On?
How
we good? How you doing today, man?
I'm doing excellent, man.
Yes, sir. Pat, this is my man, Joel. Joel, this is my co-host, Pat.
How you doing, Mr. Pat?
I'm doing good. So, you're going to educate us on the voters, right?
Well, I'm actually going to talk about an event that's coming up, and in that event, you know, we're going to have canvassing efforts, which is simply just, you know, getting people registered to
mm-hmm.
vote, and in that, you know, educate them on the voting process as well.
Okay. All right. So go ahead. What's this event, and give us more details.
Well, I'm speaking on behalf of the Leon County Democratic Black Caucus.
Okay.
And we're reaching out to the community to bring about awareness and increase our membership by encouraging disenfranchised voters to, in fact, vote. The Leon County Democratic Black Caucus believes in promoting the principles of the Democratic Party at all levels by supporting qualified candidates endorsed by the caucus. We would like the public support in our summer evening of jazz and poetry fundraiser. This fundraiser is not just to help our local candidates, but to also help with our canvassing efforts, which I just explained, but I'll explain it again. The canvassing simply means just adding voters to the voting list through voters' registration.
Mm-hmm.
We will be passing out pamphlets and sample ballots, as well as engage students in the election process. This summer evening of jazz and poetry fundraiser will be held on Thursday, August the 4th, from 5:30 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. at the American Legion. Again, that's 5:30 to 7:30 at the American Legion, located at 229 Lake Ella Drive, Tallahassee, Florida. For additional parking, you may park on 1700 North Meridian Road. There will be entertainment, appetizers, and a cash bar, as well as great music and poetry. Now, as far as the tickets go, individual tickets will be $25. Student tickets will be $15, with a valid school ID card, of course. Now, if you are a sponsor, those prices are going to be posted on our website, as well as any other questions people may have. You can visit our website at www.leoncountydbc.com, that's D as in day, B as in boy, C as in cat, .com. Or you can email us at leoncountydbc@gmail.com or give us a call at area code 850-391-8535. Again, that's 850-391-8535 for more information. See, I personally have some tickets on me, so if you're interested in purchasing tickets, one or more, you can reach me at my email, which is joel_potts@yahoo.com. That's joel_potts@yahoo.com. Or you can visit our website at leoncountydbc.com to purchase tickets through the PayPal link. Now, remember, if we do not do our part within the community, as well as not vote as a community, an unlikely candidate will be in office, a candidate who does not represent the community and our principles. Power to the people.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Now, I want to ask you this because we have a wide range of listeners. And for our young listeners, maybe people who 18, 19, first-time voters, maybe 20 years old or whatever, who are first-time voters, can you give some of our young listeners information or why is it even important for them to vote? How do they make their vote count what's the whole process? Because we have a lot of people that are telling young people that their vote doesn't count. So can you kind of help clear that up?
Oh, that is not true. As an American citizen, our job is to vote. If you don't vote, then you're basically saying you don't care who runs your local office as well as nationally, and they can pass whatever laws they want, which they do not represent you guys, represent us. So us voting the candidates that we want in can change drastically our situation in the way we want to. So don't let anybody say that voting does not matter, because it truly does.
Okay. So. I know, especially like what you're doing, pushing voting as far as the local level, because now what gets the national attention, or what gets most of people's attention, is these presidential elections. So, sure. can you give a little insight on how important the local election is?
Well, like I was saying, we want to get people in office who represent us and our needs. And I'm just going to reiterate, if people are in office and they do not represent us, then our needs will not be met. You can have a certain amount of politicians in office and they worry about one side of the town because that's attractive, and they don't worry about another side of town via in Tallahassee, Frenchtown, a mostly black populated place. And that place is ran through. As far as, drug dealing, violence, and all that. With the right politicians, we can change a lot of those things. We can give more resources to those communities. We can focus better policing. It's just so many things we can do locally. So locals are just that.
Hello? I think we
did. We lose them?
I think we lost them. He may can hear us, but I think we lost him. Let's see if he. Hello, Joel. You can you hear us?
Yeah,
okay.
I can hear you.
Okay. Yeah, we lost you a bit, but we missed the last part of what you were saying.
Basically, the last part I was saying is when we open up our door we see our community. And voting in the right politicians, the right representatives, can change that for the better. If it's people in office who do not represent you, they're not going to care about that community.
Okay. Okay. Man, we appreciate you being able to come on and give your information. And one more time before we close this out, can you go over the name of the event and the date, time, and the location?
Of course. The name of the event is Summer Evening of Jazz and Poetry. It's a fundraiser. And again, it's going to be held on Thursday, August the 4th, from 5:30 to 7:30 p.m., 5:30 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. at the American Legion, located at 229 Lake Ella Drive, Tallahassee, Florida. If there's any more questions, again, you can visit our website at www.leoncountydbc.com or email us at leoncountydbc@gmail.com or give us a call at area code 850-391-8535. And like I said, if you guys wanted to purchase some tickets right now, you can either go on the leoncountydbc.com website or you can email me and at joel_potts@yahoo.com. And like I said, I have tickets personally, so I can get you those.
All right, man, we appreciate you. And everybody, y'all, make sure y'all go support, especially if you're in Tallahassee, Leon County. We're working hard to make our city better. We've been working hard for a long time on these streets to make our city better. So when I'm always excited when we got other people in the city who out there doing things. So I appreciate that because it'd be lonely out here sometimes. So I really appreciate you. And then I ran into Joel at Publix one day, and we exchanged numbers and everything. And I was telling him about the show and how we use our platform. So I appreciate you coming on here, man, and giving the information. And any new information, new updates, political information or whatever that you can possibly give us, man, just kind of contact me, man, and let me know, and we can make sure we work to get it out.
Well, this is very short notice, but tomorrow, if you're in the Tallahassee area or want to travel over here, tomorrow around 2:30, people are going to meet up at the Eternal Flame at FAMU, and we're going to march to the Capitol building as in protest. Okay. So, you know, if you can, make it out there, tell a friend. As I said, 2:30 tomorrow by the Eternal Flame at FAMU campus. So.
All right. Y'all be there and be ready. All right, man. We appreciate you, man. And like you said, we're going to stay in touch, man. And anything going on in this political realm that we got going on that we can help you with, just let me know.
Oh, thank you, brother. I just appreciate the opportunity, man.
Ah, man, no problem. We appreciate you for your energy and your passion, man.
All right, then. Y'all take care.
You too.
All right.
All right. Get it right, Pat. Get it right.
Go out and vote.
Go out and vote, man. Straight up. I know here in Florida, everybody mad Rick Scott governor, but most of the people didn't go vote.
I know, right? They didn't let Lord Voldemort become governor, and they saying that, man, look, I got a poem.
Go ahead, get him.
If you don't vote, then you let the white man keep his hands around your throat, and then you be begging for air, you choke, and then,
yeah.
Nah, 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 nah.
You know what I'm saying? Man, look here, man. Vote. And that's important, too, man. And don't just go out there and vote and just be circling in and bubbling in stuff like you trying to Christmas tree a test or something. This ain't no test, man. Make sure you go out there and know your candidates. Find out what's going on. If they're having some kind of mixers or some kind of events in your local cities and you get a chance to talk to these candidates, talk to them. Hey, hell, if you see the candidate walking down the street, walk up to their ass and talk to them. Mm-hmm. I've done that plenty of times. And I know, like in my city, I know who I'm not voting for. and I know who got my vote. So I hope you do, and especially these presidential elections. Yeah, you choosing between, because really this presidential election, you choosing, and if you want to throw Bernie Sanders like shit with corn in it, and then Donald Trump like green shit, and then Hillary Clinton like that real runny shit that you have. So you choosing between the bullshit, but which one is the best shit? So you know, but your local elections can be different because. Think about this, Pat. If people start galvanizing and organizing in their communities, because I say this all the time, we can have our own candidates from our community run, and those candidates could win because hell, the damn community vote for them.
Well,
it can start eternally, man.
Right, it can. But before any of that is even possible, people got to be educated on the political process. You know.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. You know. So. Man, y'all do y'all thing, man. Make them voter things happen, man. But, you know, it's the Freedom Train. I'm Joseph A. Ward. He is Patrick A. Irvin. That ain't your middle name, is it?
Nope, it's actually B.
B. Bartholomew.
Brian. B.
Alright, so, hey man, y'all know how we do. I'm Joseph Wardy, Patrick Irvin. Shout out to Fitz Francis, the Quiet Storm. He's been a little quiet. He's been a little too quiet lately. So we got to get him. I'm gonna poke him in his eye or trip him or something when I see him. I'm gonna help him up though. I'll help him up if I trip him.
Yeah. You gotta be nice about it.
You know what I'm saying. But we want to thank everybody for tuning in to the Freedom Train. Thank you for downloading this podcast. And remember, we are on iTunes and Google Play Store. So you can either go to our website at www.freedomtrainradio.com and download this podcast. Or you can go to iTunes, search Freedom Train in the podcast section. Or go to Google Play Music and search Freedom Train in the podcast section. And you can download your favorite podcast. And I know this one will be one of your favorite and all the other ones that we have up there. So there it is. Remember? And remember, our mission is to connect professionals, business owners, and resources to our community members to uplift and empower our communities. Hey, the Freedom Train. Here we is. We sponsored by PAX Inc. And you can visit or learn more about PAX Inc. at paxinc.org, excuse me. And that's PACTSINC.org. PACTSINC.org and learn more about PAX Inc. You can go to our Freedom Train website at www.freedomtrainradio.com. I know I said it before, and yep, I'm saying it again. And download this podcast and all your favorite podcasts. And follow us on Twitter and Instagram at _FreedomTrain. And I might take my shirt off one of these days and post a picture on Facebook. So stay tuned for that.
Right. You just said a whole lot of stuff real fast.
Hey, coach, you like, hold on, did he just say he's going to take his shirt off? Yes, I did. I'm going to do one push-up and take my shirt off.
I get that swole on, though.
Yeah, I know, right? Hey, man, y'all tune in next. Be prepared. Next week when we drop the podcast, we will be interviewing author Stephen Dunn, and we will be talking about his book, Potted Meat. So stay tuned so you can learn what that potted meat about. And we ain't talking about the potted meat that you go find in the corner store. We talking about that real stuff. So until then, two fingers up like a player. Split them apart. I guess we'll see y'all next week. Peace out. Thank you.